Peace to the goddesses, peace to the gods. This is another episode's Convo with Living Legends. I'm your host, Guy with Many Visions, man. I am so happy, so joyful to have another episode. First and foremost, let's give a big shout out to episode 23 guest, Tamika Newhouse. Thank you so much, Queen. I truly appreciate you for coming in on the platform, checking me out, giving me the opportunity. I got to have you back on again. But today, on episode 24, I got a wonderful brother. I met this brother not too long ago, but from the first meetup, I knew I was amongst a very powerful man. I just want to give him his flowers because for the many times we've been connected, and he told me something very poignant not too long ago. So, you know, we got to give each other our flowers. So today, I want to give this brother his flowers. Baba Ken Amen, my brother, what's going on, King?
Oh man, everything is perfect, cold and complete, man. I want to give you your flowers as well, man. Thank you for inviting me to the podcast, and I want to salute and congratulate you for doing something so positive, not only for the guests that have come onto your show as far as building ourselves, but just for the positivity of balancing the scale here on this, so-called internet. You know what I'm saying? It's very important that the wise minds, you know, participate as well. And we balance the scale, push it higher or push it forward with positivity, you know, to drown out the distractions and the negativity. So thank you for having me. I just, in the spirit of just, you know, disclosure, I just want everybody to know that I'm like this brother here. I'm a man of many visions, a god of things as well. You know, my name is Baba Ken Amen. I am an artist. I like to refer myself to as an escape artist, actually. I am an astrologer, a spiritual advisor, transcendental magician, a futurist. I'm a food artist. And I spell food, small p, capital H-O-O-D, by the way.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. I'm a business and tax consultant. I am an international travel consultant and writer. And currently, I am running alongside a very beautiful and wonderful partner. We have a company called Mineral Deposit here in the Atlanta metro area, where we sell not only some of the really nice and flyest copper, brass, and silver gemstone enhanced finery, known as jewelry to people who don't really, you know any better. But we also are formulators of a Marenki formula, which is creates vitality and potency in you. We capsule a lot of our formulas. We have a MSM formula. We have a Be Gone formula that helps to eliminate tumors. We also carry an incredible line of artisan soaps and shea butters and things. So I'm here to adorn the people inside and out, you know, with things that they would need to culturally and spiritually express, as well as on the inside, giving them knowledge and information of who they are and why they are, so that we can see that we are winning. This is not an ending. This is the beginning. And this is necessary. It is necessary for the cancerous, narcissistic, egotistical, lying ass mofos to, you know, vanish. And so they're vanishing before our eyes. So, you know, I'm here to, with the good news, with the gospel, if you must, that like, hold on. Hold tight, look away from the TV, look inside of your mind, and you will see that even what they call disease or COVID, it's all by design. You ain't got nothing to worry about, because when the dust settles, when the last jab has taken place and all the, we're going to be here. Those of us that know that your immune system is powerful than any immunization or vaccination, you're going to be here. You see? So yeah, I'm here tonight to talk about the idea or concept of transcendence, and to just to assure those that have the ears to listen and those that have the mind to know that you don't have anything to worry about. You just have to decide how and what you want for yourself in the new world order that's taking place. Ashe.
Ashe, ashe. So, Baba, let me ask you this. What got you on your journey to becoming a Baba, and not only becoming a Baba, you know, a lover of life, you know, of knowledge, you know, because you have a plethora of knowledge. I would say you're a lover of love, you know what I mean? And I know as a man who loves our people, you know, us being the melanin people, you loving your people, what really got you into the journey of being where you at now? How was that road?
Well, you know, man, thank you for asking me that, man, because that's like a, okay, so my mother and father both were teachers and educators. My father and mother both. My father was in the military. My mother was a government worker, but they taught college classes in the evening. And on the way to them becoming college professors and government works and all, you know, back in the day when your moms and pops went to school, you know, most of the time you went with them, you know.
True.
So, man, I can remember being in like college classroom as Arkansas AM&N or Southern University and different places where my parents were students when they were young. But it got started, man, with reading. My mother and father had the works of like Don L. Lee, who's now Hakeem Adebuti. You got your Mary Baraka. He was Leroy Jones then. So there was books around the house, and my father, he was a voracious reader on the toilet. So I started off on the toilet, bro. Reading on the toilet. I started off reading at night. So something happened to me. So with him being in the Army, we traveled around a lot. So I lived overseas, man, from 72 to like 74 or something like that. And by living outside of America, around the age of like, you know, 9 through 11, you know, my adolescence was developed as an international person. And I noticed that we as Black people were treated differently in Europe where we were at the time than in America. There was a whole lot more respect, honor, novelty, and just admiration. Whereas there was, you know, vitriol and hatred when I returned here. So coming back to the States, or shall I say, tasting, you know, real life outside of this mug for a minute, that began a series of like, you know, questions about why this happened and how did things get this way. That plus voracious reading. And the next thing you know, man, as a student at Norfolk State University, man, I really came into my own, you know, because I had the free time to read. And without my father, you know, may he rest in peace, you know, trying to make sure I didn't get off the reservation or like take this Black stuff too serious. By the time when I got to college, man, that library became my friend, man. I dove into periodicals and books and things that, you know, I mean, as I read those, a lot of like one particular magazine called Phylon, I think it's Phylon. These Black social scientists, man, were writing piercing, penetrating articles on Black identity, revolutionary strategies and things. And although those things were written in the 30s and 40s, man, it was so relevant to the 80s that I was living in. So I just been on a mission, man, to share with people that we've always been awakened. We've always been God. We've always been Goddess. We've always been resilient. And we've always overcome everything that ever hit us with, man.
Ashe.
We the coldest and the boldest.
Ashe. And like, I have a brand called Black Matrix, right? And basically with Black Matrix, I'm just trying to tell our people how to remove the mental shackles that hold us back from our greatness. So how do we continue to share that knowledge with our folks so they can remove those mental shackles that's holding them back from their greatness?
Well, you basically by things that you're doing. By you calling your brand Black Matrix, what you're doing is absorbing into the Blackness, if you must, a terminology that's been given a false credit, and you pulling it back home. So let's look at the word matrix. Now, most people think matrix is a movie,
Exactly.
That describes, you know, people being under mind control and being batteries, human operated batteries. But in fact, a matrix is a maternal complex. All right. A complex of being that has matrilineal or maternal instincts as its, you know, stuff. You see, by using Black Matrix, you're actually confirming a truth that is in place. This planet that we live on, the woman, the matrix. This planet is a matrix because the woman on this planet is the housing, the incubator, and portaway through which life forms come on into this. So what's happening is through the clothing line you have, the book that you're writing right now, and the other many books and other ideas that we are coming up with. Like for instance, this past week I was at the Veggie Taste, right? Now, Veggie Taste, good idea. It seems like, oh, vegetarianism is coming on board. Well, the fact of the matter is the teeth in our head and the intestines that we have is that of a herbivore. So it's only natural that veggies is what we would eat, you see? But it took us transcending the idea that of eating high on the hog as being rich, or, you know, a steak being the ultimate, you know, meal that you could eat. All those lies were put into place, and we are slowly but surely redeeming ourselves by creating products like Black Matrix, by writing books with things like I Aspire to Inspire Others with the Power of My Words. I mean, you know, we're just transcending. We're just redeeming ourselves. We're rising to the top. Actually, you know, I was in thinking about you, bro. I wanted to share that, you know, that I don't want to get frock anybody's feathers, but it's not the Haitian revolution. It's the Haitian evolution. You see, we're evolving, man. And Haiti is taking the lead by that blockade going on. That's actually creating the example of how to sustain yourself with out being corrupted by the proliferation of materialism and the false system, you know, that's in existence. So everything that they're doing is only strengthening us. And man, despite everything they're trying to do to Haiti, man, I have no reservation and fear that Haiti will be the leader of the new school, of the new world order when all the dust settles, because almost everyone who's complying with the system, they're doing it out of fear. You see, they're doing it because they can't, for some reason, imagine what life looks like without slavery. But it doesn't matter, because they're about to experience what it looks like without it. Because the same people that's trying to kill us with the virus manipulation and all the genetic food and all, they are only hurting themselves. They are only hurting themselves. They can't hit us with nothing. Even if I got jabbed and they put a nano technology inside of my body, a couple of months later, man, I'll be to reprogram that bad boy and used it to my advantage, man. Just like I'm doing with cell phones now, man. I every device, everything that they use to try to slow me up, I'm using it to advance my cause, just like we're doing right now.
With all that being said, right? And as we move on to consciousness, and I feel like there's a veil that is being lifted off the earth because a lot of us is awakening. How do we continue to push that envelope to awaken some more people? Because I feel like out of the a small percentage of us, I'd say like a solid 5% of us are here, have an understanding of what's going on, and we're actually putting in the work.
My answer to that is trust in morphic resonance. You ever heard of the 99 monkey theory?
Yeah, I heard of that.
So what's happening is a few of us have started an ascension process. You know what I'm saying? And it's growing and growing and growing. And after X amount of us, come to the conclusion that this is no good for us, it'll just permeate into the being of everyone else, man. The Haitian Revolution is actually was a start off point that, you know, it may take until 2104. Okay. But the bottom line is, it's coming. You know, we just have to understand that we're able to withstand anything thrown at us. And it starts in the mind by having transcendent thoughts. Like, for instance, a lot of people, I've redefined what COVID means. For me, COVID means chant our visions into this dimension. Curate omnipotent visualizations in detail. You know, I go on and on.
That's a good one.
Yeah, man. You see, you take the things that they throw at us and we mix it. So if you look at hip hop, the way some of the artists, you know, come up with the clever names that they come up with. That's all we have to do is use our imagination. You know, I conjure spells against what they're doing all the time, man. Create our vision in detail 19 times and watch as it moves from your mind to your existence. You know?
Wow, create our visions in detail.
Yes, sir.
Wow. That is, yeah, that's fire right there.
Yeah. Chant our values into, you know, this dimension. You know what I'm saying? You just flip it on them. We just flip it on them, man. We've been doing it to them all the time. You remember the t-shirts when Bart Simpson came out? We came out with the
black version.
we always do it. We transform and transcend what they're doing all the time. We make lemonade out of what they're doing and with everything they hit us with. So, like I said, I have no fear of their technology, superseding me. You know, because every day it just comes more, you know, clear to me that they can't stop. It's like right now, man, I'm holding in my hand, man, a new book I got. It's called 9 to the 9th Power of 9, Supreme Mathematic African Ma'at Magic, right?
Okay.
I'm reading in this book, King, and the brother says that, and you might want to be, I hope you're sitting down for this one, bro. The man posits that the binary code of 0-1 that they're using for the system is the most simplest, you know, form of, like, you know, magic or codex on the planet. So our hair comes out and represents, and it's connected to life, and it works its way into what they call a 9-ether coil. All right. So 9 to the 9th power of 9 is the only way to describe our hair, how that coil is the coil of life, which is the DNA spiral, you know, upwards, right? So in order yep. for us to, in order for a computer to be able to come close to matching our human capability, it would have to be based on the mathematical principle of 9 to the 9th power of 9, or the coil, not 0-1, you see? So there isn't a computer created yet, bro, that could come close to the possibility of computation that takes place in our mind. Our mind is much more deeper than any of their semiconductors, superconductors. They haven't created anything, and they can't create anything off the 0-1 that could deal with just the power of your hair, bro. Now, to make what I'm saying plain and clear, there's a child in India right now and another little cat in Africa that was trying to find some substances to make the solar panels. They somehow came across some solar panels, but they didn't have the filament in there to capture the light. So the little boys decided to put some hair inside of the thing. And the hair captures more energy and light than anything known to man, King. We can't be stopped, man. The story just keeps going on like a wheelbarrow, man. Sooner or later, we're going to recognize that everything they're throwing at us is an illusion. It's just a movie. If it wasn't for movies and television, we would have been forgot about them. But right now, you know, we're volunteer slavery. And we're looking at their TV. We're looking at their movie. And they're trying to be like us on those movies. Every Marvel movie, them trying to be like us.
Exactly. You know, they see the power in us. You know, our people don't realize our hair is the extension to the universe. Yes, and the universe gives us, we gain information from the universe through our extension cords to our minds. So I just wish our people understood, like in all reality, that beautiful mane, that beautiful crown you have, cherish it, honor it, mm-hmm. you know, because the ancestors are trying to talk to you. The universe is trying to talk to you. They're trying to let you know how great you are. It's time to come back to your greatness.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, I like to refer to our hair as not antennas, but antennas.
Yeah, that's even better. Antennas. Because it is inward. Antennas.
Yes, sir. Yeah, my hair has allowed me to like go deep space nine into myself, man. And like, I kind of, you know, now I'm getting into murky waters here, but I'm just going to say it, you know, if anybody ever wonder why so many people are messing around with the fungus, the mushrooms and the ayahuasca, it's because we're back. We're back. That's people may think that, oh, we're using that recreationally. No, we're not. We are finding ourselves with that. The problems that have been created by going to their indoctrination system, falsely called the school system, or falsely called an education system, it's an indoctrination system. When we go inside of that system, it begins a series of confusing dialogues and conversations and things that create cognitive dissonance. But there's a such thing that I coined called cognitive resonance. And when you take resonance with your true identity, then your mind resonates with that and you begin to see above and beyond or transcendently the so-called things. And you recognize that there's no such thing as obstacles. There's no such things as lies and all. There is only the truth that you are a divine man, a divine woman, a god, a goddess of yourself. Once you come into understanding that and understanding that, then from there, everything they say is just theater of the absurd, you know?
Well, you know, but what we don't realize is that when they look at us, they see power.
Yes.
When they look at us, they see something. I'll go even that far to say when you look at the Constitution, in Article 1, Section 8, they say that we are three-fifths of a human being. And you know what? I came to the conclusion they're probably right. Because when they see us, they see something better than a human being. So to downgrade that, they put that in paper.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, words like that haunt our people, like mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. To this day, our people are being affected by these words because of the way they created such a imaginary bubble.
Yes.
You know,
the way they perpetuated with television. But the other side of it is, man, eventually the electricity grid is going to drop. Man, here's a divine prophecy, King, and a prescription. If a person were to abstain from watching any television or social media for 21 days. If you stay off a phone, away from social media, and in a state of solitude for 21 days, you will be halfway healed from any affliction that you had. If you could stretch that to 90 days, you'll be completely healed. It's just simply a turning away from the shitstorm. If you turn that TV off, turn the radio off, turn your phone off, put the clippers down and just like you get somewhere, man, where like there's some water flowing or get out in the woods where there's some trees. And if you can start getting some of that fresh, good oxygen from trees and some of the oxygen that comes from running water, bro, every revelation you need will come right to you. And as a matter of fact, you'll drop the blindness. You'll stop being human blind and become God-sighted and goddess-sighted, bro. It's just an illusion, man. We just gotta like turn the TV off, man. And that's half the battle right there. You know? I'm just waiting for the grid to drop, man. Because Every time I go spend extended time away from the city and nature, man, the level of peace and the things that I start seeing, man.
I must agree, big bro, because out here in the South, I've never encountered so many trails or so many mountains to climb. Yeah. And coming out here to Georgia, it made me appreciate nature.
Yes, yes.
Because in Brooklyn, you'd be lucky to find a tree on a block. You know, you could go for blocks and you don't see not one tree. And, you know, I became a tree hugger. I hug trees now. I talk to them.
Yeah, man. You know what's happening in the city, brethren, is people are literally suffocating.
Precisely.
If you live in the city, you're getting more car. If you're driving on the street or standing at the bus stop, you're breathing in more carbon monoxide poison than you can handle. I mean, it's, you know, toxicity ends with the word city, and that's what this is. And you just gotta. The answer is going to be for people to make a migration into the forest, whatever forests are left. And then it don't even need to be, all you need is like maybe an acre or two. And the whole dynamic of revelation changes. So after these cities fall, you know, and really it's going to be when we walk away. And we are, man, just the same way we're not reporting to work now, man. They got, people are like, people found themselves during the so-called
man
pandemic, man.
This pandemic.
Yes, I. Yes,
this pandemic, a lot of people, they're starting to find their way. They're starting to realize they're making money for the next person while this person is sitting on a yacht, enjoying off their labor, barely paying one-tenth of their worth.
Yeah.
Because the way these big corporations are gaining, we're the rates they give you, they give you a fraction.
Mm-hmm. You know, but that's actually the demise of their corporations.
Exactly.
It's, you know, so like I said, they're suicidal maniacs. I wanted to throw another interesting fact into this mix, man. Thank you for this platform because, you know, these things are traveling around in my head, on the tip of my tongue. And, you know, it's not too often that you get with another wise man. But riddle me this, bro. So in America, man, there's more guns than people.
True.
Okay. Now, a lot of people don't know this, but the number one way to die from a gun is suicide. 60% of gun fatalities are suicide. So if you buy a gun or you have a gun in your possession, you're more likely, if you're an American, you're more likely to commit suicide with the weapon than be killed by the weapon. You see? So
that is true.
So if these suicide numbers are in place like that, and then the another 20% is accidental shootings. All right. So that's 80% of gun violence is suicide and accidental shootings. You see, bro, those numbers can only flesh out to destruction. The guy is not the son of God. He's the son of a gun. And those who, you know, live by the gun will die by the gun, just like those who live by the sword die by the sword. It's an easy equation. The best thing we can do is to look away from large metropolitan areas where the illusion that you're making a living is taking place. Because if you live in an urban area, the lack of oxygen, the suffocation process, you're not making a living by making money. You're making yourself sick.
That is true.
You're making yourself sick. You're living in an oxygen poor area, doing something that you really don't like for an illusionary tool that actually is not necessary. People try to argue me down. Oh, brother, how are you gonna say you don't need money to live? I mean it. What you need don't. To live is oxygen, water, and a little food. You don't even need clothes. You don't even need Jordans, bro. You just need oxygen, water, and a little food. And I say a little food because it just don't take a lot, you know. But once we break the illusion that this is capitalism and this is that. This is not. This is called ecology. This is called nature. And no matter what they do, they can't stamp it, man. The next time you're out and you just notice how the trees are encroaching upon the street. Just notice how green pops up in the smallest little cracks in the sidewalk. You can't
stop it. That is true.
Man, you can't.
That is true. That you can't stop it. You can't stop ecology. That's why the bears, they be going into these people's homes like, yo, you in my habitat.
You're in my habitat.
You in my habitat. You come built in my home. I was here first.
Man, but they running things. Nature is out there running things, man. I was vending last week at the Veggie Taste, and it hadn't been, there were no human beings in that area so long. Man, we asked the ants for permission, you know, to set up. That was last Saturday, bro. I'm still seeing ants in my car. I'm still, like, getting little ant bites. You know what I'm saying?
Man. You messing with them, man. You all in their habitat, man.
Man, we're in violation, man. And so, as I said, it's going to take a few of us, just a few of us, to don ourselves as living legends, as you say, or as transcendent beings. And we need to begin with powerful prayers, man. I look forward to the realization amongst the wise minds that let's just stop having awkward conversations with people who are under the illusion of America and just pray for them, man. Pray for them and pray on them. P-R-A-E on them and P-R-E-Y on them as well. You see, we want to spiritually pray upon them with our affirmations, with our prayers. Let's write the books, okay? And I was telling you last time, my last cipher with you, I was saying, we need another restaurant like we need a hole in our head. What we need is food banks, and we need to start giving one another food, okay? We need to
start. I feel like we should create more gardens and farms.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Especially in the urban neighborhoods. We should get plots of land, create gardens and farms. Those would be a food bank, and the food bank is right. Like, we should get like 3 acres. Out of that 3 acres, one is a garden, another acre is dedicated to a farm, another is dedicated to a food bank, and it's for the community. So the community comes, you know what I mean? We barter.
Yes.
We barter. Well, I
hear you on the barter, but I'm saying give it. See, if we give food, if we take the dollar, if we separate money from food, there will be no crime on this planet, King.
You know, I can agree to that.
There will be no crime. All you have to do is give a man food and he is content. Did you know that the way that the white man came up with 3 meals a day is that they found in Europe with the prisoners that if they fed them 3 times a day, they stopped trying to escape. See me, man? All you got to do is give food, man. All you got to do is give a man food and you create peace. And you zero the fence between the two. That's all you have to do is give a man food and you create peace on earth and there will be no crime. So I humbly ask and pray for all one and ones who have land, you know, throw fruit trees on there, you know, fruit forests, you know, Brother Eugene Olala, he's big on that. But we need to anybody that has acreage out there, start throwing the trees on there, the fig trees, the peach trees, the apple trees, the orange trees, the lemon, the lime, grow the trees. All we have to do is trees. I sit here and I think about one of my Rutico African brothers back in the day, Saja Tunkara. I just got a new house. I was living in St. Louis at the time. And he came up and I had like a pretty nice size big front yard. So he comes up and he's like, you know, sucking his teeth, how, you know, Africans do. And so I was like, man, what is this, Saja? And he said, what is y'all's fascination with grass? He said, if the grass will grow that good, do you know what else will grow there, brother? Why don't y'all grow food with this land that you have? And, you know, and that stuck with me, man. I was 25 years ago, man. And, you know, I've had gardens, multiple gardens since then. But here recently, man, I was touched by the brother Eugene Olala. And I really feel that, you know, fruit forests, man, planting like trees, fruit trees, planting fruit trees is one of the main solutions to this, you know, food crisis, man. That's all we have to do is plant fruit trees, man, on our properties, man. And in 3 years, everyone in your family is going to grow and prosper from it. And it's just going to, you know, it's going to help you. And then it makes me think too of an article I recently read about a young sister that went off to up north to go to school. She came back down south to Alabama and she was gifted some land. And man, in 6 months, the young lady was a millionaire from growing watermelons, man.
You see?
I mean, if money is your thing, then recognize that the only thing worth more than money is food.
Yeah. And my thing is, if we can create these spaces where we bring our people back to the land, back to the essence, because that's what we were, farmers, you know. Yeah. We were gardeners, you know.
Yes.
You know, we were people of the land. We tilled the soil of the land. And, you know, yeah, we may not have bartered, but we found ways. If there's something you had I didn't have, we exchanged.
Right. Well, see, but let me touch that a second. See, what we have to recognize is before colonialism, nobody saw someone as a neighbor. We saw them as our brother and as family, as tribal, as clan members. So if I had, you had. You see, true. That's a mentality. And that, so I'm not saying no, there's no such thing as barter or you know, I'm just saying that if my son's home and his family's right next door and then my other children's are there and my uncle and my grandma and them are there, nobody is sitting, no, when we're sitting at the table as a family, we're not saying, hey, I brought the turkey, I brought the dressing, I brought the, no, that's not what it is. This is our table. Comfort table, comfortable, comfort table. You see, we have to create a comfort table where no one has insecurities about where the meal is coming from. Once again, if you, not only will you cure, there'll be no crime if everybody had food, but there would also be no disease because dis-ease, no one would be worried about the one thing that you gotta have. You know, if you feel like there's no food, yeah, man, somebody better look out, especially if you got some food in your hand, you better look out for a person. But if we can stop thinking that food is supposed to be a sold commodity and recognize that food is for life and it's for people and you're supposed to just give that freely, man, we're gonna quantum advance as humanity when we get back to that.
Well, you know, I is in wellness as we as in wellness.
Yes. Yes.
You know, so we could go farther together.
Absolutely.
Than apart, you know. And my thing is, what can bring us all back to the essence is love.
I say.
I mean, love is such like a unknown gem. You know, is not unknown, is highly underrated. But if only our melanin brothers and sisters realize I am you and you are me, and we see each other and one another, then we would start to take it seriously. Like, you know what? Let's bond together. Because clearly, they're not trying to allow us into their spaces. So let's start creating our own.
I see.
You know, let's start being, you know, they want to segregate. Okay, we can segregate too.
Yes, indeed. I think one of the main things we can do, Moise, is to shift from if we and just say when we. Man! When we stop selling food and start giving it to each other, it's going to be the bomb. Man, when we, you know, so when we just say, when we put the word when, which is phonetically sounds like W-I-N, but when we put that word when in place of if, something magical happens, you see, and it puts it on deck, if you must, in the universe. We must remember, man, that once you step into your divine mind as a god or goddess of yourself, you recognize that every single desire you have is actually a demand on the universe. It is inevitable. Once you mask and arm or coat yourself or cover yourself with your divine mentality, every single desire you have is a demand on the universe. And if it doesn't come immediately, it's coming eventually.
It will, Ashe.
Ashe. It will.
It's only a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time. It's just a matter of time. Because we're getting there. I mean, look how many folks are doing, like, podcasts now. Look, Matt, you could not have told me that CMOS was going to be trending like this. But, man, what is the end result of us, all this seaweed we drinking, man? Man, we almost back to our super human godlike features, man. Just, you know, we're a couple of smoothies, a.k.a. Earthshakes. I like to call them Earthshakes.
Earthshakes.
Yeah. We're just a couple of Earthshakes away from redeeming ourselves, man. You know? Look at your story, man. Look at your family, man. I bet you if you was to, like, run off the story of how y'all, you know, climbed up out of Haiti, the thing to get to New York and all the things that you all had to overcome. Come on, man. These are incredible redemption, resilient stories, man. Our story is greater than every whack-ass evil thing they tried to do to us, man. Our story of how we got past it is always more incredible.
No, that's true. You know, that's true because they do whatever they can to keep us beneath them. But like I tell my people, like, we just got to remove that programming because they programmed us hard body. And it's unfortunate that it happened, but it happened. So for us, you know, we don't need to unprogram. We just need to remove those wires. Remove those wires, set our minds free, and now learn the correct way how to be the supreme being that you are.
Absolutely.
You know, how to, you know, be the supreme being that you are, man. Like, be sleeping, like. This is serious times.
Yeah.
It's serious times. But it's always a good time to be alive, too.
Absolutely.
You know,
I'm so thankful to be living in the great, you know, turnover. You know, it just is what it is, man. And by keeping a positive iris on your mind and keeping your ori cleansed, you just recognize that it's theirs is lies and illusions. Ours is a immortal transfusion, man. We basically are transcending their stuff so fast. Man, I meet young people all the time, man, Bobby Kinderman, man, what are your thoughts on mushrooms, man? I just had a great mushroom experience. And I was like, oh, tell me more about it, you know? And I listened to them and they're telling me things like, you know, they don't have to deal with the Adderalls and the other things that their the medical system and their own family had them hooked on. They're saying, man, I found the answer in these things, you see, and they found it. It's so much evolutionary trajectory taking place that we just need a few wise minds to gospelize it. That is, pass the good news, because too many people think that, oh, we got to wake them up and we got to tell them, don't worry, they're already awakened partially. And as the movies, as you know, it's only so many times you can watch The Wizard of Oz or Lion King before you say, oh man, been there, done that, heard it all before, right? The white world, the American world, the illusionary world, it suffers from diminishing returns, man. The only thing that's immortal and everlasting is truth, light, and love, man. And that's who we are as essence beings. And our DNA, see, okay, you got your superconscious mind, which is the one that's controlling the heartbeat, the pulse, and all those things. That code can't be broken. No nanotechnology can break that code, right? The conscious mind, it basically is eventually, as you spiritually grow, it's going to surrender to your soul consciousness anyway. Your superconscious is your soul consciousness. So once, you know, your awakeness is when you allow your superconsciousness to run the show. That's going to happen to everybody. Some people, they got to die before it to happen. But everyone is going to get there, man. We're all going to get to the finish line here, bro. Everyone's going to see the truth eventually. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Man. You preaching tonight. You giving the, you spitting gems. You set up a lot of poignant things. So
thanks, King.
Your journey, you know, in your journey of life, were certain things that befell you that you learned a very valuable lesson? Because I don't believe you ever took a loss in that life. If you think you lost, it was more a lesson.
You know, speaking directly to that, two things, three have happened to me that have had really monumental impact. A, when I was 25 years old, I had a stillborn child. And the level of pain that caused me, I thought I was going to die, bro. I actually felt like I was going to die of sadness. But that also was one of the main places where I really began to find, I began to realize how resilient we are. It took some time, but I began to feel better again. I began to be able to slough off all the things I thought like it was my fault and just all those other things. And so that was major. And then my father transitioning without he and I totally making peace on things. I know that my father is proud of me. You know, I gave him more grandkids than any of my brothers and sisters. That would be six of them. Since the age of like 28, man, I have been, you know, my entrepreneurial endeavors have, you know, led my course. So, you know, he didn't understand in the beginning, but, you know, because he was all about the college, you know, thing. Having the day that I came home one year, and I was a little bit out of pocket and a little wrong for this, but it was important for my trajectory. When I came to visit one time, I had three children at the time. My business in St. Louis called NAPS, NAPPS. Anybody's ever in St. Louis area, get out, get down there and get your hair, you know, taken care of with us. NAPS is an acronym for Natural African People's Professional Styles. We've been in existence since 1997 in St. Louis. All my children were there, and we've taken care of ourselves. But I came home one day, my dad was talking all that Negro stuff, and I was like, get your tax return out, old man. Working with. You know what I'm saying? And so whereas I was wrong as two left feet to battle and compete with him like that, that was a major point. And I try to tell brothers out here all the time, one of the major rites of passage for you is to demystify your father as greater than you. This is a very critical part of your plight or your renaissance as a man. Okay.
You have to be greater than your father.
Yes, you've got to take that bloodline further than he did. And it took me a minute to get that, but I recognized that the war that I was fighting with him, the righteous war, the jihad between me and my father revolved around me taking it to the next level. So in the course of with having my kids in business, my father has only owned, you know, he doesn't own them because he's still in mortgages right now to this day. But, you know, I was able to amass, seven properties, you know, in the St. Louis area at some time. And most of them they were paid for. So, you know, I did that. I outdid him that in that. I had one more child than he had. And I was able to stand toe to toe with his, you know, really aggressive, you know, attempts to turn me into a Negro because he just could not take. He's like, man, I'll never forget when he saw my kids had the locks as well. He was like, oh, my God, it's one thing for you to F your life up, but why are you going to do that to your kids? You know what I'm saying? Damn. And so my father created such a wall for me to climb above, you know, that, you know, he made me, you know, through his Negro isms, you know, who I am. And I'm with the culture, bro. There's no turning back for me. There's no haircut for me. There's no, you know, denying my spiritual power. And then about 3 years ago, I lost my beloved wife, Dominika Donsi Bona, man. Me and this sister did some great things, man, in the New Orleans area. We were
forever power.
Yes, I. And so, man, when a beloved, when your loved one transcends like that, all widows and widowers out there, that too is another one of those great precipices or great journeys. And so the things I learned from Dominique fighting for her life, we went to the doctor in Canada, Mexico, and Cuba, right? Okay. Now, were it not for her getting that diagnosis, man, I can't say that I would have ever made it to Cuba. Knew about it. Definitely was part of my Pan-African, bucket list, but it was just a damn bucket list. But by having to raise, resources for us to try the cutting edge medical things that we were doing, I learned about B17. I learned about DMSO. I learned about the snake venom, and the different medical things. We went and got readings and traditional African medicines, in Cuba, in Mexico. I discovered, ayahuasca, changa, and just other, things. In other words, opening up to that other side of life. So to all the widows and widowers out there, I say transform that from a trauma into a drama and recognize that it's an overcoming story. And, grief is something that, we must learn to get flow with and flow through. So those three things, man, losing my wife, demystification of the father and being able to stand up to my father toe to toe, man to man. Oh man, that one right there was quintessential. And I think that stillborn baby, man, that get bouncing back from that pain as a young man like that. Those are three things that really stick out in my mind as things. And then, I'd be remiss if I just didn't, give credit to my children too, because I homeschooled my children their early parts of their years. And as a matter of fact, my oldest son, who's 30 now, I homeschooled him all the way through. He only had maybe one, maybe two semesters of Babylon school. And a brother GED'd out and had one of the highest GED scores in the state of Missouri. And I found out during that period that most high school seniors cannot even pass the GED, you see. But the point I'm getting at is that it's about standing in solitude, standing on your own, standing on what you believe in, and being a pioneer for the old new Africans that we are, for being the old new Aboriginal that we are, being the old new Native that we are. We need enough of us to stand firm in what you feel your life journey and mission is. Stick with it, no matter how many blood relatives or knuckleheads in your peripheral is trying to tell you different. Do what your life goals and your galactic transmission tells you to do.
No, I totally agree. And a lot of people don't realize while we embark on this journey of the consciousness of self, there's a lot of healing. There's a lot of, there's a lot of forgiving. There's a lot of things you got to go through, and a lot of shadow work you got to do.
Yes.
As you get on this journey, but the more and more you heal, the stronger you feel, the more open you are, the more empathetic you are, the more, the more aware you are of what's going on, and you're prepared, to go through this tough terrain, because it's not easy, to be conscious and trying to live life to the greatest of your fullest potential is not an easy thing. So with all that being said, I ask you this question. What would you tell your 10-year-old self? You at this current moment, what would you tell your 10-year-old self? And what would your 10-year-old self tell you as well? In your current state right now.
Okay, so you know, as I shared with you earlier, I was born in 63, and during and my at 10 years old, we were living overseas at the time. And I have a very, 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 very funny story for you at that juncture in my life, bro. So we lived on in Vicenza, Italy, and right outside of the base, bro, there was a Senegalese brother and a couple of Italians and all. And, you know, I don't want to be judged by people. I'm not a military brat, but, you know, I have four brothers and sisters, and we got an allowance, okay? And so somehow, and I don't know how, this guy figured out that I had 50 bucks on me. I think I was going to get some change or something like that. And the guy gave me Italian money for that $50 bill. And at the time, I think the lira was trading 8-1, right? So he, you know, he broke me off, you know, the Italian money. And I went to the base and I traded that in and I got more than $50, right?
Okay. So,
bro, I started going back to this guy. I got to the point, man, where at 10 and 11, man, I was making so much money. It wasn't until I bought my girlfriend at the time, Julie Russell, a bicycle. And her dad brought that bicycle and her to the house. And was in my dad's face like, Jerome, what the hell? Your son buy my daughter a bike. What the hell is, what's going on here? And my dad's like, man, what are you talking about? So during the shakedown of him saying, where'd you get the money for the bike? You know, he found my stash. Man, I don't know why, bro. And so he was like, are you stealing from me? You know what I'm saying? And I was like, no, dad. You know, it wasn't until he broke that belt out that I was like, I had to go ahead and spill the beans on what I was doing. So what I would say to my 10-year-old self is stay alive. Because since that time and being shaken down by my father, man, I got to write about this in my book. I feel like I kind of began to comply with like some of the things that society and my dad, you know, I kind of fell back from things. I've always been an entrepreneur from since that moment. I mean, I had a newspaper. I mean, just, you know, I got it. But I would tell my 10-year-old self, don't waste any time playing sports. Work out and do something, but don't fall for the sports thing, because I wasted a lot of time with that, man. I wasted a lot of time falling for that silly ass pipe dream where the best case scenario is you end up running around in underwear with numbers on it so the people at the pieces can see. I just wish that I hadn't wasted so much time with that, and I wish that I had pursued some of the internal interests.
What was the sport you played?
Basketball. Okay. I played all of them, actually, but I'm very musically inclined. Like, I've never met an instrument I can't play. And so my father just kind of really veered me towards, man, your life options would be better with that. And I spent a lot of time in a cognitive dissonance state listening to coaches talk a bunch of shit to me and only to always, you know, come back to, you know, what is your bookworm ass doing up in here? Why are you challenging me on these things? I just really would tell my 10-year-old self and all other 10-year-olds, you're actually capable of producing more as a scholar, as a man, as a businessman, as a pastor, as a holy man than you are by playing sports for these folks. Whatever. I don't give a damn how much money LeBron James make and all these other guys. They're trapped. Those guys are trapped inside of a false sense of self. I submit that athleticism and physicality is the lowest hanging fruit. It is only control of your animal body and animal mind. You see? And so I would tell my 10-year-old self, stand firm and follow your intellectual spiritual pursuits, because I feel like I could be a whole lot further along with my spiritual powers if I hadn't have wasted so much damn time on quartz fields and diamonds, man. It was ridiculous, man.
Well, you know, at least you know. I can only imagine you got a few life lessons from those moments, despite that. You know, but to me, that's tremendous because I've never heard of that perspective. Because normally we all grew up to play sports, you know, because we're going to be the next Jim Brown or the next Michael Jordan or the next Wilt Chamberlain, you know, next Jerry Rice. Those are the thoughts we had. But, you know, for you to say that, I'm like, yo, I've never heard that. And it's refreshing to hear because it's new.
Yeah, man.
You know, it's new. So what would your 80-year-old self tell you, tell the current you now, and what would you tell you currently tell the 80-year-old self, your 80-year-old self?
Shay, well, check this out, King. I actually am a, I walk the 13-moon calendar.
Okay.
So, as you know, that calendar is 260 days as opposed to 365. So as a result of me having shifted my emphasis and living on that calendar, as it turns out, I'm actually 81.234 years old, you know, as far as from the Dzogchen. So I am 80 right now, according to the Dzogchen.
And okay.
And I'm 58, according to the Gregorian calendar. So what I'm saying to myself right now is, hey, man, stay with this. This isn't one for you to like go in and out of. This is something for you to stick with and become one with this oracle that I'm learning. And I want everyone who can hear me and can hear me to understand that if you switch from the Gregorian calendar to the Dzogchen, A, you're going to be alleviating yourself from a mind control out of the holidays, D-A-Z-E, that they have you caught up in, and you're going to like quantum advance internally by gathering that clock. You're going to gain more wisdom and you're going to gain more agedness on you, you see? And so I'm telling myself that I've reached a really good place to like really strap up, strap in, and really, you know, get the finite details. So I take the Dzogchen very serious. It's a day by day calendar that where you absorb yourself as an archetype into the oracle system and you become one with the 260 faces of God that this calendar reveals to us. So I'm saying to myself, stay with this and evolve on into it because, you know, the Gregorian calendar is only good for you wasting your time, energy, and money on their little fake ass holidays. They mean nothing.
Yeah, these holidays don't exist. To me, every day is a holiday.
Yeah, every day. Is a holy day in my life.
Every day is a beautiful day. Every day is a momentous day. Every day is a momentous occasion to be greater.
Yes, sir. So you know? I see myself as celebrating myself now, you know?
The celebrating. Yo, the wordplay.
Yes, sir. That's what we got in common, man. I'm prophesying, man, that you and I, man, beyond that's just like the brotherhood, man. We're going to be authors of like some great works, man. I'm so excited about the release of your new book. I'm thankful for the blessing that you bestowed upon me with the forward, man.
I don't have you on that, big bro. Appreciate you on that, big bro.
Yes, I.
You know, appreciate you on that. You know, to me, like my phrase is, I aspire to inspire others through the power of my word. Shameless plug, my new book coming out very shortly. But basically, I know the power of words, and words are spells. And why would they use the term spells in regards to using, you know, speaking to one another? Well, more times than not, we don't realize how we speak either life or death on ourselves. So I am being mindful of the words that I say. That's why I don't say good morning, because what am I mourning? Aren't I happy to be alive? So I would say grand rising, because I'm rising from my slumber.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm rising from my slumber. I don't like to use the term can't. When I say can't, I'm diminishing myself as a supreme being. So why would I use the term can't?
The word can is actually not a word. It's actually a curse.
Exactly. Precisely. That's what I'm trying to show people. These words are curses.
Yeah, you're doing it, brother. Like I said, man, your story, Moisey, man, I look forward to the day when your notoriety and your vision, you know, because like I said, when you mention living legends, you know, I'm the type of guy, I look things up, you know, when I'm things, you know, I analyze them. And man, what you talk about is so poignant. You know, my definition of living legend is a person who is both alive and either famous for doing something extremely well or very famous. The sequence of the words living legend is an English collocation. Being considered a living legend may be an honor, being related to one that can be mixed, that be a mixed blessing. So you hitting on the head so forth, because essentially what you're saying is we basically, you're considering yourself a legend while you're living, you're combining two things that usually death has preceded. Like a lot of people notice, but you can be an ancestor without dying.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. So what I'm saying is by you using this legend, this is it's like you a hip monk, man. You come up with you've come up with something that's like, you know, as you say, giving people their flowers now, man. That's a very positive and necessary frequency that we need to live on. Stop waiting until someone appears to be dead, because there is no such thing as death in our society and in our consciousness. You know, there is ascension. You know, you're ascending.
Exactly. You know, death doesn't exist for us.
Absolutely, because like I said, if something tragic, you know, happens right now, all revelations about what this is will be revealed at that moment. It don't matter how dumb you were, or how much you looked away, how much television you watched on that day. You know, you will be resolved in what it is to move to the next level.
It's good. You're so right, big bro. You're so right, bro. That's why I create what I create. You know, my books, everything I create is for my beings. Like, I know the man, woman, and child represents the Holy Trinity, as well as the Unk. So with that knowledge, why not everything I create is for us, by us? I'm here to elevate us, you know, because clearly as a people, we in a prolonged slumber.
Yes. So
I want to get us out that slumber. I want to be the ones to help remove that veil off the earth. I'm a solutionist. I'm always looking for a solution. I know what the problem is. What are the solutions?
Ashe, the solution, my brother, is resolution. Resolution actually means focus, right? So the more wise minds, the more Godheads and the more goddess heads, the more we move into meditation and imagine that. You know, remember earlier when I said pray for them and pray on them, P-R-E-Y on them?
Yep.
Not only is melanin a great absorber, it is also the greatest projector. So those of us that are awakened, when we go around one-on-ones and we want them to do something, we keep trying to talk them into it as opposed to pray them into it. Your aura, your physical aura, your physical presence is 13 feet or so out in front of you, around you, and below you. Wherever you go, you're like the same vortex of the way the energy enters into the poles of this earth and come out and spin. It's the same thing happening with us, as above, so below. So when we go around our loved ones, when we shift into using this guttural demonic language to try to convince them of something and move into using our eumelanin transmitting power on people, then we're going to begin to have the effects that we're looking for. You can do a whole lot more with prayer than you can with arguments.
That is true. You know, I'm right now at this moment in time, I have no intentions to be arguing with my people. You know, I'm part of each one teach one. Yes, I'm here to teach my people. I've come to the conclusion my words are not for everybody. So whoever my words are for, it will attract them and they will come to me and I'll be able to teach them in the manner I'm supposed to teach them. You know, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a mission. I'm going to accomplish that mission. And my job is that as a generational curse breaker, I'm here to leave a blueprint behind so that the generations behind me can
actually put that blueprint to work and manifest it so we can get back to our glory.
Yes, I. Absolutely, King.
You know what I mean? So whether I'm here or not to witness this glory, I know I will be here as an ancestor in spirit.
Absolutely. Yeah, I feel that way too, man. I feel no way about life on earth. I love it here. I love it here. I mean, I love it here. There's nothing that's happening that I don't love. You know? I'm just having a ball.
You know, I am highly grateful. That's why I said gratitude is my attitude. I'm here yet again. I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to love on my people. I'm going to do whatever I can to make us strong and always find a solution, you know.
Hey, brother, I finally found this document I wanted to share. It's a short one before we leave. I wanted to offer this as a solution and a clear statement. This short piece is called Cognitive Resonance.
Okay.
Cognitive Resonance, R-E-S-O-N-A-N-C-E. All right. Ashe. I am speaking on cognitive resonance because so many people speak as if cognitive dissonance is the only form of cognitive behavior or cognitive power. Whereas cognitive dissonance is knowing better but not doing better, in other words, knowing what you should do but not doing it, cognitive resonance, on the other hand, is knowing that you are all knowing and acting like you know you're all knowing by doing what you should. Doing what you should, aka being focused, determined, and balanced in being. I feel that it is important to speak on this because we are programmed internally to do the best that we can for ourselves. Again, we are programmed internally through DNA, RNA, genetic coding, and ancestral memory to do the best that we can for ourselves. Our inner God and inner goddess or energy that is the God or goddess inside of us is always speaking to us.
I'll share.
The thing is, we rarely listen, or shall I say, we rarely take heed to what we are hearing. I think we hear it, but we are so distracted by technology or impoverished thoughts or mundane thoughts that we appear to reject it, but that is not the case. Inside of you, your soul is saying, yes, 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 yes. You must join and align your mental body and your animal body into that yes, and you will. The objective of this short pamphlet or writing here is for you to understand and understand more fully your power of cognitive resonance, that you might join in with your super consciousness in completing the healing journey that you are on. Please remember, health is the body's natural ability to heal itself, and it is doing that all of the time. You can't even stop it from happening. This process of the body healing itself is the best way to describe cognitive resonance. Your brain mind is designed to control, regulate, and direct you towards homeostasis or balance or good health, period. Reciting positive affirmations and taking affirmative action as well is the key to optimal living, aka cognitive resonance. Cognitive resonance, then, is the act of optimal thinking, optimal action, aka optimal living.
Ashe. You know what I mean? Ashe, yo. You know, you don't know how much I appreciate you for coming in on a check-in, big bro, Baba. I ask you this, Baba. What is one last thing you'd like to tell our people?
That love is the omnipotent, universal, transcendent, all-knowing, omniscient force on the planet. And it like your health is headed in a direction that you can't do anything about. So allow the tsunami of love and the revelation of love and the transformative and transcendent quality of love to permeate your being. Learn to love everything, including your enemies, including your obstacles. And you will find that everything is possible. You know, it's like love of self is the catalyst and the spark for any being to tap into their superpower. I explain this simply by a story. One of the most powerful human stories I heard was a little badass baby kid jumped off jumped off into the gorilla cage at a zoo. Bro, that mama jumped in that cage. She ran up there. That gorilla smacked that lady about 4 feet back, and her arm was broken or something in the process. She got up, bro, from love from her child, and ran at that gorilla up there, jumped on that bad boy again and bit his ass, grabbed her baby and came up out of there, and didn't realize that her arm and other things was broke from the incident until after the incident, man. Love, man, is powerful, man. When you truly love something and you want to protect and care for it, that you tap into your superpowers with it. Now, everybody knows the gorilla is 800 times stronger than human beings, but that mother got her baby back, you see, because of what? Love. So I'm saying to everybody, turn that love message, turn that love vibration and love frequency, love vortex, onto yourself, into yourself, and onto others and everything else. And once again, including your enemies and your obstacles, and you will find that they will all the enemies and obstacles will dissolve, and all the other things will just become platforms or steps for you to rise onto the occasion of becoming who you came to be, which is a person who's profoundly in love with self and profoundly in love with the opportunity to live on this earth.
Man, I say. Yo, I must say this was another powerful, and to have Baba Ken Amen on the check-in on Convos with Living Legends, and we just spoke to a living legend, and Baba Ken Amen, man, yo, we got work to do, big bro. We got work to do. I'm truly honored that you came on the check-in. You shared your knowledge, you know, and to me, even though it's a small dose, that small dose can always go a long way. People don't understand knowledge can always go a long way, no matter how much of it is being shared.
Ashe.
You know, no matter how much of it is being shared.
Yes, indeed. Yes, I give praise and thanks for the opportunity, brother. I give praise and thanks for you. And I push 100,000 watts of prosperity, abundance, sales, resources, recruitment, and everything that you see for your upcoming book, your podcast, your family, everything about you. I see it increasing, multiplying. And just let us move forward, man, and recognize that, you know, you said something earlier. You're right. It's not easy. But once we step into our divine armor, it does become effortless, you see? So everybody just hang on for the ride, family, and just recognize that if you got this U-melanin coating, that means you have the codex of not just to survive, but to thrive, even in the midst of this chaos. We are thriving, and we will continue to thrive. No weapon, legislation, or virus formed against me shall prosper.
Man, say that again, big bro. They just understand.
Yes, sir.
You understand, you know, but you know, to everybody who's on the check-in, man, let's, you know, I have to give another big shout out to the Baba himself, Baba Ken Amen. Amen. I keep messing that up. It's Ken Amen. Amen. Not Amen. It's Ken Amen.
Dialect, brother. It's dialect. Sometimes
it's the dialect.
It's just dialects, man. It's Amen. It's Amen. It's the same. It's the same spirit, though. And you know, it's so funny. You know that word Amen. Interestingly enough, you know, even our Christian brothers and sisters who are dabbling in, you know, the Christ insanity, you know, still, what do they end their prayer with? An original African terminology, you see. It's true. Always there, man. It's always there.
You see? That is true.
Ashe.
Ashay. And you know, shout out to everybody on check-in. Shout out to the goddesses. Shout out to the God. Peace to each and every one of you. Once again, we want to give a big shout out to the God himself, Baba Ken Amin. You know, thank you for coming in on the check-in. Once again, this was episode 24, Convos with Living Legends. I'm your host, God with Many Visions. Till we link up again. Peace.
Peace out.